We present King Street Junior, created and written by Jim Eldridge, starring Carl Howman as Philip Sims and James Grouse as Mr. Beeston, the head teacher.
Trouble is, I don't know what to do for the best. She was in a dreadful state yesterday. That's why I didn't get to the staff room at break.
Oh, I did wonder. I mean, you don't usually miss your mid-morning fix of tea.
She didn't want to go into the playground. I wasn't going to leave her on her own in the classroom.
Oh, hang on. Sonda! Put your coat on! Now! Do you hear? Honestly, it's near freezing, and they still pile up their coats to make goalposts.
Footballers will be footballers.
I'm sorry. You were saying about Debbie.
She's no better today. This morning she broke down again. She can't stop crying. That's why I phoned her mum and suggested Debbie go home for the day.
Do you think that's a good idea?
I don't know. You tell me. What do you say to a little girl whose young brother's just been killed?
Yes, it's a difficult one.
And she's having to grieve in public. It's not fair to the girl.
Azad! You heard what I told Sundar. Put your coat on. I'm sorry.
In a way, I feel guilty. And Mum's on her own. She's got enough to cope with.
How is Mrs. Merson?
Well, I'm sure she's doing her best. For Debbie's sake. But she's really suffering.
Yes, I can imagine.
I think I might talk to social services. See if they can give me some advice on how I can help Debbie. You know, grief counselling or something.
According to Mr. Sims, the boy was only 5 years old.
Well, how did it happen?
First time out on his new bike, and his car hit him. He was dead before they got him to hospital.
That's terrible.
Worst thing, it was a stolen car. A 15-year-old, just joyriding for the hell of it.
Ought to be shot.
I wouldn't go that far.
Oh, it's Jose.
Morning, Miss Reed.
Morning.
You're looking pleased with yourself.
I am. And you're going to be pleased too, Mr. Holliday.
Oh, really?
Well, you know this project we've been doing on Roman Road?
Ah, yes. The old A5, right from London to Anglesey. Or Londinium to Mona, as Governor Suetonius Paulinus would have said.
Yes. Well, we've got a reporter coming from the local paper to do an article on it.
Ah, well, that's wonderful. Oh, tell them not to make it Tuesday. I'm very busy Tuesdays, and Wednesday morning is pretty tight.
Oh, don't worry. You won't be troubled. She and the photographer just want to talk to my class and me.
About the Roman Road?
Yes, isn't it exciting? All our project work is going to be written up in the local paper, with photographs as well. Tea, Mrs. Rudd?
That's fresh in the pot.
I thought I might have a hot chocolate this morning. It might warm me up.
I didn't know we had any chocolate.
I brought in my own jar. Would you like some?
No, that's all right. I'll stick to tea.
I wonder if I ought to offer some to Miss Lewis and Mr. Sims. They must be freezing out there on playground duty.
They'll survive. They're old hands. So, what's all this about you and a best baby competition?
Oh, you've heard.
Mr. Long told me.
It's such an honour. The young wives are holding a most beautiful baby competition as part of their January fair. It's to raise funds, you know, and they've asked me to judge it.
Sounds like a poison chalice, if you ask me.
Oh?
Think about it. Whichever baby you say is the most beautiful, you're also saying in the same breath that all the others aren't. And there's nothing more calculated to annoy mothers than to suggest that their baby isn't the most beautiful baby in the whole world.
Really, Mrs. Patterson?
I know how I'd feel if I put Benji in for one of those and he didn't win.
Oh, dear.
Exactly. How did you come to get selected for this job?
I'm not sure. I was told that someone had recommended me for it, but I was not informed as to who that person was.
Well, I think it was very wicked of you.
They put me on the spot. I did it a few years ago, and they were asking me again. But I had to get rid of it somehow. And hers was the first name that came into my head.
Oh, the poor woman. Judging a most beautiful baby competition. The mothers who lose will tear her to pieces.
Oh, she'll survive. Mrs. Rudd has got nerves of steel. Anyway, one look from her, and they'll all be shivering in their shoes, and the babies in their booties.
Hello, King Street Junior. One moment, I'll see if he's free.
Who is it?
Mr. Stewart.
Who?
His daughter Maxine's in Mr. Long's class.
Oh, yes.
Hello, Mr. Stewart. Easton here. Yes? What? our teachers? Are you sure? No, of course I make myself available. But now, this morning. Yes, I'll be here. Right, I'll see you both then.
That sounded awkward.
It is, or it could be. Mr. Stewart believes one of our teachers is acting improperly with the children.
What? But that's impossible.
Not according to Mr. Stewart. They say they have evidence. And he and his wife are on their way to see me now.
As I see it, she's taking unfair advantage of my expertise in this subject.
I'm sure it's not intentional.
That girl knew absolutely nothing about Roman Rose until I took her under my wing.
Yes, but look, could we leave this till later?
Did you know where the Icknield Way in the Roman A5 crossed?
No, but I'm sure you're going to tell me.
Dura Curvis, or as it is now known, Dunstable in Bedfordshire. Oh,
please, Mr. Holliday, I'll try and have a word with Miss Reed, but right now I have a class waiting for me. Mr. and Mrs. Stewart to see you.
Oh, yes. Yes. Hello, please come in. Do sit down.
Thank you.
Good morning.
I'll make sure you won't be interrupted.
Thanks, Mrs. Stone. Well then, Mr. Stewart.
This is a very serious business, Mr. Beeston.
Well, I'm aware of that. Though you didn't give me any details on the phone.
Well, I didn't like to. It didn't seem right.
You never know who might be listening.
Yes. Yeah.
But you're suggesting that one of the teachers here is behaving improperly?
He was seen, Mr. Beeston.
By our Maxine.
But who did you see?
According to Maxine, he had his arm round this little girl, and he was cuddling her.
She was sitting on his knee.
It was at playtime. All the rest of the children were out.
Maxine had gone back into school to get something from her bag, and then she looked into his room and saw them.
You still haven't told me who it was.
It's just, we were so shocked.
It was Mr. Sims.
Mr. Sims?
Exactly. We were shocked as well.
With all the things you read about these people, we never expected to find it happening here.
Did Maxine see which girl it was that Mr. Sims was supposed to be cuddling?
Yes. She said it was a Debbie someone.
Debbie Merson.
Yes, that was it.
Ah, yes. Well, I think you may have come to a wrong conclusion here.
Oh?
Yes. Debbie Merson's 5-year-old brother, Simon, was recently killed by a joyrider when he was out on his bike.
Oh, that's dreadful.
Yes, well, as you can imagine, it's been a shattering experience for Debbie. And Mr. Sims has been doing his best to try to comfort her. I think what Maxine saw was exactly that. I mean, Mr. Sims trying to console a very distressed little girl who suffered a terrible loss, which she can't come to terms with.
But why didn't he do it more public?
More public?
Yes. Alone in a classroom? I think it's unhealthy.
Mr. and Mrs. Stewart, I really can understand your concerns, and believe me, if the circumstances were different, I would instigate a full investigation as of now. But in this case, Mr. Sims was reacting quite simply to a little girl who was deeply upset.
By putting her on his knee and cuddling her.
Well, I don't know the specific details.
Well, then maybe you should find out. I mean, did he cuddle her? Or what else did he do?
You can see why we're worried, Mr. Beeston. About our daughter as well. Maxine is very precious to us.
I understand that.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Beeston, but I'm still not convinced. I'd like you to ask Mr. Sims exactly what went on.
I will, I promise you. But I'm sure the answer I gave you will be the correct one.
In the meantime, Jerry?
Well, yes. In the meantime, we want it made clear that we don't want our Maxine having any kind of contact with Mr. Sims.
Oh, please.
Not until this thing is answered to our satisfaction.
We're sure you can appreciate our point of view.
Well, if that's how you feel, of course I respect your wishes.
It is, Mr. Beeston.
But until this thing is sorted out, can I advise you that it wouldn't be a good idea to voice your concerns about Mr. Sims outside this office?
Well, we hear what you say, but
You've already mentioned it to other people.
Understandably. We were concerned. It's not just about Maxine. What about all the other children in the school? It was only natural in the circumstances.
Hey, up that's a fast. We're not going to run out of food.
The feeding of the multitude.
You've said it. Like pigs to the trough.
Oh, I'd keep away from Fred Holiday today, if I were you.
Why, what have I done?
Nothing, but he's on the warpath about this Roman road project of Miss Reed's.
Eh?
Ah, Mr. Sims.
I'll tell you later, but steer clear unless you want your ear chewed up.
Okay.
Mr. Sims, do you have a minute?
Well, I was on my way to lunch.
Well, this won't take a minute, and it's important.
And I just think it's disgraceful. There's no one who knows more about roads, both ancient and modern, in this school than me.
That is true.
I mean, it's a school issue. I approached Miss Lewis about it, but she didn't seem to think it mattered.
But it's not a school issue.
Well, of course it is. It's a school project. The interview is being done at school.
Well, then there's your answer. Offer to join in.
It's not up to me to offer. I ought to be asked. Downright rude, I think. They pick your brains and then toss you aside. I feel used, if you must know.
Know is what one looks for in a beautiful baby. Well, a smile, I suppose. No, but a smile is a sign of a sunny disposition, not necessarily of physical beauty.
Yes, but a smile shows inner beauty.
But is that what I am judging here? It says the most beautiful baby competition, which I assume means the external appearance, not the innermost soul. Take Quasimodo, for example. Wonderful soul, hideous exterior. If I'd been judging a beautiful baby contest in France at that time and I'd picked Quasimodo as the winner, there would have been questions asked. And quite right, too.
I don't understand it.
No, nor do I. It was supposed to be spaghetti bolognese, but it tastes more like curry. Weird.
No, I mean, Mr. Holiday.
No, no one understands him. He's an enigma, a law unto himself.
Well, he's always been very friendly to me and helpful, but ever since I told him about this newspaper reporter coming, he's been, well, I thought he'd have been pleased.
Oh, yes, he would. But, could it be his feeling left out?
What's that?
You know, maybe he'd like to be involved.
You don't think he'd mind?
Not him. Show him someone who wants to talk about roads, and you can say goodbye to the next 4 days.
Right, I'm going to see the Stuarts.
Now, wait a moment.
But if they're going round spreading tales like that, it's slander.
I know.
And you said they told other parents.
If it's any consolation, they won't be spreading any more stories about you. I nipped that in the bud, well and truly.
But you know how these things spread. It'll be all over town. And if I'm seen with any of the kids...
Well, what do you suggest?
I want a public apology from the Stuarts. I want them to say that they were wrong. And I want to know they've said it.
But then what happens with all those people who hadn't heard?
What do you mean?
Well, suddenly they're saying, what's this public apology about? And someone else says, he was accused of messing around with the kids at school. And then someone else says, ah, there's no smoke without fire. And suddenly even more people are talking about it than they were before.
So I can't win. If I take no action, everyone will think I must be guilty, otherwise I'd have defended myself. And if I take action, everyone will say it must be true after all.
In a nutshell.
Oh, but this is insane. It's a nightmare.
I know. And there's got to be some way we can put a stop to the rumours. And at the same time prevent new ones starting up.
Paints are sponges, sticks of charcoal. Come in.
Hello, Mr. Holiday. Have you got a minute?
Well, actually, I'm pretty busy getting ready for art this afternoon.
Well, this won't take a minute. It's about the Roman Road project.
Oh, yes?
Well, you know that this reporter's coming tomorrow?
Yes.
Well, I wondered if you fancy joining in.
Joining in?
Yes, you know, with me in my class, talking about the Roman Road.
Well, that is... Well, no thanks all the same.
Pardon?
That's all right. You do it.
Oh, well, if you are sure.
Well, I'm perfectly sure, thank you. Now, I'd better get on.
Right, well, I just thought I'd mention
it. Thank you, but, no, I'm happy for you to do it.
Right, well, okay.
Oh,
The problem is, Mrs. Wright,
the problem is that since you mentioned your concerns to me this morning, I'm beginning to realise there is more to this business of beautiful babies than meets the eye.
You're getting cold feet, eh?
Not at all. I'm just trying to establish the ground rules in order to create as little controversy as possible when I announce the winner.
Now, just a minute, everybody. If I could have your attention, please. Thank you. I have something very important to tell you all. Something which I need your help on. Please. Thank you. I feel it only fair to let Mr. Sims tell you what's happened, as he's the teacher directly involved.
What's going on? Right, well, thank you. As you know, Debbie Merson in my class lost her little brother a few days ago. Simon was killed by a joyrider. Well, ever since, Debbie has been, well, deeply upset. Well, grief-stricken, in fact. Yesterday at break time, she was in such a state that I tried to calm her down while everyone else went out to play. In the end, she was okay, but I did all the things that I've always done. I put my arm around her and let her cry on my shoulder. You know, that sort of thing. Unfortunately, I also let her sit on my knee while she cried, which is apparently going too far.
Why? I have had many children sit on my knee.
They'd enjoy that.
The bottom line is, I've been accused of molesting her by some parents.
Oh, no.
Now, please, please.
We ought to get the union in on this.
Oh, absolutely, it's outrageous.
Which parents?
Maxine Stewart.
Maxine? In my class?
I've just finished speaking to Mr. and Mrs. Stewart on the phone. And they've now accepted that Mr. Sims acted innocently and with no untoward motive. But unfortunately, the damage has been done.
What damage?
Apparently, Mr. and Mrs. Stewart have spread the word that there was something sinister in what I did with Debbie. Oh,
that's outrageous. They should be made to apologise publicly.
Which was Mr. Sims' initial reaction. But because I believe we don't want to make this unfortunate situation any worse than it is, I've issued a note, which I'm asking you to distribute to all your children and ask them to take it home. I'd also appreciate it, I insist that you read the note aloud to them and make sure that we quash these damaging rumours right now, today.
Certainly.
Because there are children who will be only too glad to carry tales, and as they say, a lie is halfway round the world before the truth has got its boots on.
I shall certainly set the record straight with my children this afternoon, and in no uncertain terms.
Thank you, Mrs. Rudd. And if the rest of you would do the same.
Yes, of course.
However, before we finish with this issue, it does mean I'll have to issue a directive to all members of the staff to stop this sort of misunderstanding rearing its ugly head again.
Directive?
Yes. In future, there must be no physical contact with any child in a one-to-one situation. In fact, all teachers must avoid being on their own with one child, or even with, say, two children.
Well, that's virtually impossible.
Yes. Maybe, but in this current climate, we have to avoid any kind of contact or relationship with the children that can be misinterpreted as inappropriate.
All right, take your time. That means do not run.
Mr. Long, have you got a minute?
If it is only a minute, I'm on shopping duty tonight. And if you don't get a parking spot by 4:15...
Oh, I promise it won't take long.
All right, come into my room.
Oh, thanks.
Well?
Well, you know we were talking at lunch about this business of the Roman roads and Mr. Holliday.
Yes.
Well, after what you said, I went to see Mr. Holliday and I asked him if he'd come and join us, you know, do the interview.
Brilliant. Well done. You'll make a great diplomat.
Oh, not really. He said no.
No?
Hmm.
As in no?
That's right.
You sure you asked him the right question? You know, would you like to take part in this interview for the local paper about the Roman road?
Yes.
And you stressed the word road?
Yes.
Well, I'm staggered.
Oh, what's worse, he was as off with me as he was before. So I wonder if there's something else I've done to upset him. Hello? Oh, hello. What? Oh, of course you can. No problem. I'm not going out. Right, I'll see you shortly. There you are. Now, you're sure you wouldn't prefer something stronger?
No. Coffee's fine, thanks.
It's instant, I'm afraid. Sorry.
Oh, please don't worry. It'll be fine.
Right. Well, you've got a problem.
Yes, and I didn't know who to talk to about it.
I'm flattered you chose me.
It's this business of Debbie Mercer.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me.
When Mr. Beeston first told me about it today, I was furious. I still am.
Well, that's understandable.
But I've been thinking about it ever since. And now all I feel is sick.
At the Stuarts?
No, about how people will think of me. Everyone will be talking about it, all the whispers, the looks.
But Mr. Beeston's note will put a stop to that. And look at the support you got in the staff room today. There's no one who believes there was any truth in it.
It's not the other teachers, it's the parents, the other kids. Tomorrow at the school gate, Mother's saying, "That's him, that's the one." I don't think I can cope with it.
Oh, but you've got to. The last thing you want to do is stay away from school. That will set tongues wagging. What's he hiding from? All that sort of thing.
It gets worse, doesn't it?
Look, there'll always be one or two people who believe the worst. But the majority of the parents know what you're really like. They trust you. They'll know how these rumours start and truth gets distorted.
But will they trust their kids with me? I don't know, Glenda. I just don't know if I can face it.
And when she asked him, he said no to talking about roads.
Mr. Holliday, dear.
Not so loud. He'll hear you.
I think he might be sickening for something.
Good morning.
Oh, just the person I was looking for.
Later, Mrs. Rudd. Have either of you seen Mr. Sims this morning?
No. You don't think he's,
I don't think anything. I was just wondering if anyone had seen him. Not to worry, I'll catch up with him later this morning.
Well, actually, Miss Lewis, I'd like to talk to you about this beautiful baby business.
Morning, Mrs. Batterson. Any tea in that pot?
You don't deserve any.
What do you mean? What have I done to upset you?
Not me you've upset, it's Miss Reed.
What? When?
It's all right, she's not here. Probably crying her eyes out in the kids' toilets or something.
I haven't the faintest idea what you're talking about.
Oh, yes, you have. This Roman Road project.
Oh, that. Well, actually, I'm the one who's been upset there, thank you very much.
Mr. Long told me she came to you and asked you to give her some help. And what do you do?
Look, I think this is a bit of a distortion of what actually happened.
Do you?
Well, I didn't mean to upset her. I was the one who was upset.
Oh, yes.
If I'd known that she was keeping me out of it because she didn't want me to be bothered with it, I'd have said so.
There, all done. Would you like to read it over?
Yes, might as well. Just in case there are any spelling mistakes.
Well, if there are, your fault. I copied it from your notes.
Right. Let's see how it reads. Private meetings with pupils. Teachers should always be aware...
That's not checking it.
Well, I'm cutting to the nitty-gritty. Ah, here we are. Where possible, another adult should be present or nearby during such confidential interviews. Two, physical contact, which may be misconstrued by any pupil, parent or other casual observer, must be avoided.
Mr. Beeston?
Oh, Miss Lewis, shouldn't you be taking assembly?
No, it's Mr. Long today. Have you got a minute?
Important?
Yes.
Right, well, we'll go into the inner sanctum. Mrs. Stone?
Okay, I'll hold the fort.
Right. And he hasn't been seen today?
No. I asked Mr. Long to take his class into assembly.
Well, I wonder what's happened to him.
I don't know. He was very worried when I spoke to him last night. Very down.
I think I'll give him a call. I can always say I wonder where he was today. I mean, I can't imagine Sims as a sort who'd do anything silly, can you?
No. But it was a terrible thing to be accused of.
It's ringing. But I thought I'd cleared it up. At least as far as he was concerned. I mean, that note to the parents and everything.
Yes, but once he got home, I think he started to dwell on it.
Yeah, that's a bad thing to do. Well, there's no answer. So either he's out and on his way, or else...
Oh.
He wouldn't do anything stupid, would he?
I wonder if I ought to go over there.
What, to his flat?
Just in case.
Well, normally I'd say let things run their course, but in this case I don't think that's a bad idea. Don't worry about your class. I'll look after them while you're gone.
I thought...
thought that was a really good assembly from Mr. Long this morning about the peasants' revolt.
Yes, so did I the first time I heard it.
Does he do it often?
About once a year. Usually on the day the council tax bill drops through his door and he feels particularly bolshy.
Excuse me, Miss Reed.
Pardon?
I'll talk to you later.
Miss Reed?
Yes, Mr. Holliday.
I think an apology is in order.
Look, if you think I've upset you for some reason and ought to apologise...
No, I'm the one apologising.
Pardon?
Sandays, this is none of your business. I think we should discuss this in your room at break.
Oh.
What time's this reporter woman coming?
This afternoon.
Fine. Well, first I can apologise and then we can discuss what we're going to say to her about this project.
You mean you and me?
Well, of course. Is break time all right for you?
Yes.
Good. It'll give us time to look at that section of the A5 that runs out to Anglesey, or Mona, as the Romans called it.
Oh, good morning, Miss Lewis.
Oh, Mr. Sims.
What are you doing out of school?
I decided
to skip the literacy hour this morning.
No, I was on my way.
I know. After what I said last night, I bet you wondered what had happened to me.
Well, I did wonder.
Well, relax. After I left you, I went round to a mate of mine. We had a few jars. I bent his ears for a couple of hours, and what with one thing and another, I forgot to set my alarm and overslept.
Oh, you overslept.
I tried phoning, but the phone here was busy, and everybody I tried to contact had already left for school.
But you're all right?
Yes, I'm fine. I've decided I don't care what people say. I'm not going to let other people ruin my life for me. When I know I've done nothing wrong.
Good.
Anyway, did you get my class in?
Mr. Long did.
Right, then I'd better go and relieve him. Oh, and,
Yes?
Thanks for last night.
Well, I'm not sure I helped.
Oh, yes, you did. Just being there helped.
What are friends for?
Come on. Let's go and teach some kids.
You've been listening to King Street Junior, created and written by Jim Eldridge, and starring Carl Howman as Philip Sims, and James Grouse as Mr. Beeston, the head teacher. Marlene Sidaway featured as Miss Lewis, the deputy head, Margaret John as Mrs. Stone, the school secretary, Tom Watson as Mr. Holliday, Vivian Martin as Mrs. Rudd, Paul Copley as Mr. Long, Deirdre Costello as Mrs. Patterson, and Jacqueline Beatty as Miss Reed. Mr. and Mrs. Stewart were played by Mark Straker and Susan Tordoff. The producer was John Fawcett Wilson.